From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today bears the title, You Deal with God. The text is found in Hosea chapter 11 and verse 9. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man. The Lord thus makes known His sparing mercies. It may be that the listener is now under heavy displeasure, and everything threatens his speedy doom. Let the text hold him up from despair. The Lord now invites you to consider your ways and confess your sins. If he had been man, he would long ago have cut you off. If he were now to act after the manner of men, it would be a word and a blow, and then there would be an end of you. But it is not so, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are his ways above your ways. You rightly judge that he is angry, but he keepeth not his anger forever. If you turn from sin to Jesus, God will turn from wrath. Because God is God and not man, there is still forgiveness for you, even though you may be steeped up to your throat in iniquity. You have a God to deal with, and not a hard man, nor even a merely just man. No human being could have patience with you. You would have wearied out an angel, as you have wearied your sorrowing father. But God is long-suffering. Come and try him at once, confess, believe, and turn from your evil way, and you shall be saved.
Left his father's throne above, so free. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living hand. And called in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the
In these troublesome times for our nation, many people are looking to the government or to social action for a solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of both Duncan Campbell's account of what happened during those revival times on Lewis, as well as a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. The CDs are available to you free of charge, simply by requesting your copies. You may write us at LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Just request your copies of the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Continuing his series of studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the conclusion of a message entitled, Good News for the Whole World. The text is Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Paul preached the only gospel that would meet the spiritual need of all people, regardless of national, cultural, racial, or societal differences. We've seen that in the person of Christ, God has provided a mediator for the whole world. Then God has sent his messengers throughout the world. Paul testified that God had chosen him to bear his name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. In addition, God has settled the mission of those messengers. They are to call sinners to obedience to the faith of the gospel. In doing so, those preachers come with the authority of God himself. Here is the great motivation for preaching the gospel. God commands it, and Christ deserves it. Now here's Dr. Cairns to conclude this message. Good news for the whole world.
God has a gospel for the world, and he says to us, go and preach it. And in so doing, he has defined our motives in carrying out the mission. It's on behalf of the name of the Lord Jesus. It's for the sake of his name. And that's the one and only true motivation for all biblical missions. We come in the name of the Lord. My, what confidence that gives a preacher. We come in the name of the Lord. When you have that sense that the Lord has given you the authority, you're doing it in his name. I was thinking of David standing before Goliath. And he sees this huge giant. You come to me with sword and shield. You come as the mightiest warrior in the whole area. Your shield is so great that you have to have a full-grown man go before you to hold it. You put terror into the king and the armies of Israel. I stand before you in your eyes as a stripling. But I come to you in the name of the living God. Saul might be trembling and the armies of Israel shaking like jello, but I do not tremble because I come in the name of the living God. My, what a confidence. That's how Paul preached. I can go to the nations because I come on behalf of his name. And what I do is for the glory of his name. Why do we preach the gospel? Man, I want to tell you that's a searching question. Why do we preach the gospel? There are preachers who love to be seen. And there are preachers who love to be heard. There are preachers who love the praise of men. There are preachers who love the lifestyle. There are preachers who like the money. And they're in it for the money. And if there's any in the Free Presbyterian Church like that, they're lunatics. We tell them when they come, we promise you nothing but blood, sweat, toil, and tears. And we live up to our word. And I hope it stays that way. God help this church when people think it's a cushy number and an easy place to get an easy life. Why do we preach? When I was a young boy, most missionaries would come to whip you up with love for the heathen. Now, I believe we should love the heathen. And they would show you pathetic pictures. And you came away with the idea of these poor, darkened, heathen people. And oh, they're just waiting to hear the gospel. And all these rotten Britishers, they've got the gospel on every street corner and they don't care about it. And there are these lovely heathen people and they're just longing to hear the gospel. You know, that sort of incentive is probably the reason why a third to a half of all first-time missionaries never go back to the mission field. Because it's not true. When you get there, what do you find? The skin color may be different. The culture may be different. But the heart is just the same. And they're just the same vile, vicious, wicked sinners. And if you're only there because you think they deserve it, you're headed for failure. But oh, if you're there in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the sake and for the glory of His name, and you're looking at these sinners not through rose-tinted glasses, you see them in all their sin, you see them in all their need, and you say, I'm here to give them the gospel, even if it should cost me my life, because Christ deserves it. Man, what a difference it'll make. He deserves it. Oh, it's true, we are debtors to them. But that's only because the Lord in His grace has laid an obligation upon us. Can I put it to you? Why should we have a vision of the world? Why should we have a burden for the nations? Because our Lord Jesus Christ is the mediator for the nations. He is, as Luke tells us, the Savior of the world. And He deserves our very best efforts to make Him known to the ends of the earth. And I say one thing in closing, my time is gone, but then that's been true every time we've been in Romans. My time has gone. You heard about the fellow who always complained there was too much month left at the end of his money. Well, I am in the same position, that there's too much Romans left at the end of my time. The Lord has blessed the ministry of His servants throughout the world. Verse 6, He says, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. The gospel has already proved its power, even in a place like Rome. Now, I'll deal with that more fully when we get to verse 7. But see the logic of Paul. Look, if God saved sinners in Rome, He can do it anywhere. And that encourages us to realize this is no little insignificant message. This is not the view of the Free Presbyterian Church or the Baptist Church or the Protestant denominations. This is not Lutheranism or Calvinism or Arminianism or any other man-made-ism. This is the glorious and powerful message of the God of glory for the world in all its parts, for races in all their variety, for men in all their sin. When you stop to think of how God has blessed the gospel to all sorts of people in all sorts of places, it'll encourage you. God has a program of evangelism and mission for the whole world. Go to your Bible. He saved Cornelius, a devout Roman soldier. He saved the Philippian jailer, a rough, vile sinner. He saved Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He saved the man who was inhabited by a legion of devils. Look at the ministry of Paul. God did a work among the Athenians immersed in their philosophy. He did a greater work among the Corinthians, immersed in their pornography. And then He went and He did one of the mightiest works among the Thessalonians, immersed in their paganism. The gospel has had its successes. In the year 1833, Charles Darwin visited some of the South Sea Islands. There was one little island that he visited. And he was looking for his missing link. Of course, it's still missing, by the way. He was probably nearer the missing link than any he was looking for, but that's another story. He was looking for his missing link. And he came across a people, a cannibal people, who to him were so viciously primitive that they were subhuman. And for a while he thought they might lead him to the missing link, but certainly they were so deep down they were beyond any human help. That was 1833. 34 years later, he visited the same island. He found cannibals no longer eating human flesh. He found them living in homes. He saw their children in school. And he heard them singing the praises of God in church. What made the difference? If my memory's right, 1868, John G. Patton. Patton, as you Americans want to call him. Went to that island. The gospel worked. So much so that, despite all his other beliefs, Charles Darwin thereafter became a financial supporter of the London Mission because of what he saw the gospel had done. I don't know if you've ever read the story of a little woman from England, Gladys Aylward. If you've never read Gladys Aylward's story, I certainly recommend you to read it. No missionary society would take her. She was just an illiterate parlour maid. No education. No money. With not enough money that should have taken her from London to Glasgow in her pocket, she set out overland, across the channel and then overland, by faith, to go to China. Because God had called her. The story of what she did in China is one of the most amazing missionary stories of the 20th century. She only died in, she died only in 1970. There's a time in Gladys Aylward's life toward the end when she was, toward the end, I don't mean the end of her life, the end of that saga when she took her children across the mountains and she was thrown into prison. Poor woman had lost everything. She preached the gospel to the prisoners. And God sent a revival to sweep a Chinese prison camp. There was one prisoner there who was so malicious and malignant toward her that people feared for her life. The hatred poured from him. The cursing, the swearing, the threatening. Yet, the gospel of Jesus Christ broke his heart to make him a saint and a child of God. I do not mean to demean Gladys Aylward. I would rather have Gladys Aylward's faith and fellowship with God than any academic credential the world could give me or any money that the world could give me. So I do not mean to belittle her at all. But let me tell you, if God can take a parlor maid without education, without money, without financial backing, without people in high places, without any human help, and use her like that, then let me tell you, the gospel works. The gospel works. And that's why with confidence we can go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. For listen to me, the gospel is God's good news for the whole world.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.